Hello, I am Elizabeth Duchesne, and welcome to my English 482 exhibit piece. So for my project, I wanted to focus on the fourth part of Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. Specifically, I wanted to focus on how perspective and geography work in this section, and I thought it'd be really interesting to create an embroidery which focuses on those specific aspects of this section. Now, I think while I was creating this, I thought it would be a lot less convoluted than it turned out to be, and so I thought for this audio exhibit I could kind of go through the actual map itself, because my original intention was for it to be a sort of linear path that you could follow from one end to the other for the plot itself. This isn't really possible anymore, because with all the light purple color, it's kind of impossible to follow to a certain extent, because things are stitched over other things, and unfortunately it's not really possible to follow without a guide, so I thought I'd guide you. So, you'll notice that there are two stars on the piece. The first one is in the top right corner. It's at the end of a purple line. That is the beginning of the plot, and if you sort of look 45 degrees southwest of that, there is a gray little star. I'm not sure if it quite looks like a star, but I attempted, and that is the end of the section. So for my embroidery, I wanted to use different stitches to represent different things. So for the digressions section, which are just like the long periods where Victor Hugo talks about things that have nothing to do with characters or place, so they sort of function without space, so I've kind of embroidered them to be meandering throughout. So for those, I used chain stitches, so the chain stitches represent one page per chain stitch. And for pages which involve a lot of different locations, I have instead done just regular stitches, and then at the end of the page, I represent the end of the page with a French knot, the little balls of thread that you see interrupting the line. And for times that characters are in one location for a longer period of time, I have little flowers that I've embroidered, where it is one petal per page. So going through this, if we start off at the beginning, which is the purple thread in the top right corner, we see there is a long digression. It's about 18 pages. And then it goes into sort of a montage by the narrator of many different characters in many different places, none of which are really significant characters. It's just sort of stewings of rebellion that occur in this part. This is mostly what Hugo uses his unfocalized narrative for. And actually, the first character that is focalized in this section is Enjolras. So you see his character, he has a line that goes sort of 45 degrees downward towards the south side of Paris in gold. So we see him for a few pages, and he is in the Café Musain, which is by the Garden of Luxembourg here. And then he goes a little ways down to the Barrière du Maine. And then the perspective switches to Marius in the green. And so we follow Marius to where he's living, and then Marius goes down into a field. And then it goes back into another narrator perspective for a few pages. After that, it goes briefly to Eponine in the Rue Plumet house, which is the main clump on the south side of Paris, which we see here on this embroidery. And then it goes to Monsieur Mabeuf in the blue, which is his living area, down in the sort of bottom right corner. And after that, we go back to Marius in the same sort of location as he was before. And after Marius is in that same location for a little bit, we then have two pages of digression, and then we transition into Jean Valjean in the red. And we follow his thread back to the Rue Plumet house, and Jean Valjean is there for a few pages, and then it transitions into a few pages of digression once again, and then it goes to the perspective of Cosette, who is in the blonde color, and she's in the Rue Plumet for many pages, so she's sort of embroidered over at this point. And then we transition back into Jean Valjean's perspective in the red. We see that he goes to the Garden of Luxembourg, and then it transitions back into Cosette's perspective. They go back to the Rue Plumet, and then there's a brief excursion southward for a few pages where they go to a causeway near the Barrière du Mail, which is sort of an outskirt of Paris, and then they go back to the Rue Plumet. And after that, the narrative transitions to Gavroche in the Grey. His thread goes from the Rue Plumet house to the same place where Monsieur Mabeuf lives, in the villages of Austerlitz. So we follow his perspective for a few pages while he is there, and then we go back to Cosette's perspective, so we follow her blonde thread back to the Rue Plumet, and then it goes back into the purple narrator's perspective. So we follow the narrator into a brief montage before switching back into Gavroche's perspective in the grey, and then we follow Gavroche towards the east a little bit to his major location, which is the place of the Bastille, where he spends about 10 or so pages in this grey flower that you see. And then after that, there is a few pages of digression about the prison of Paris, and then after that we switch into Thénardier's perspective, who, because he is in black thread, happens to be very obvious as he's represented here. So after Thénardier's perspective, we go back into quite a long digression. We see it's kind of under a lot of the threads, but it comes out sort of north of all of the threads and sort of circles over a little bit as I've embroidered it here. This is probably the longest digression. It's about 19 pages. And then we transition back into Marius' perspective, who is back at the Rue Plumet house. And then there is briefly an Eponine appearance in the dark blue. She is also in the Rue Plumet house. And then after that, there is Marius once again in the Rue Plumet house. A lot of Rue Plumet. And then there is the orange perspective, which emerges, and we follow that thread over to Monsieur Gillenormand's house, where he takes up a few pages in his little flower here, and then we see that it briefly transitions to Jean Valjean's perspective as we follow his red thread down to the Champ de Mars for one page, and then we follow it back with Marius's perspective to Monsieur Gillenormand's house. And then after that, Marius wanders the streets for a few pages, and then he comes back to the Rue Plumet house. However, it immediately transitions to Monsieur Mabeuf's perspective, so we follow the other blue thread that goes from the Rue Plumet back to the village of Austerlitz, and after his appearance there is a digression of 8 pages, and after that there are several pages which encompass this massive montage of the rebellion sort of taking place, springing up in every quarter of the city. So this is pretty impossible to follow at this point, but there's a lot of springing about with the light purple thread all throughout the city of Paris, particularly with the northern side of it. So after many different locations, we finally return to Gavroche's perspective, and this occurs on l'Île de la Cité, so in the little island in between the two halves of Paris here. So we finally switch back to Gavroche's perspective. We follow his thread sort of up and then down, and then he snakes around a bit, and then it switches briefly to Mabeuf's light blue perspective, and then it goes into the dark blue of Eponine's perspective. And then after Eponine's perspective, it switches back into the narrator, explaining the location of the barricade, which is the clump of perspectives which we have occurring here. Then we go into Grantaire's perspective briefly. He is the more sort of brassy green, but he's pretty invisible because his petals were embroidered over by everybody else's perspectives, because it's a very dense clump here. And after that, it goes back into Gavroche's perspective briefly. There's a few pages of him, and then back to the narrator. And then after that, to Enjolras. They're all still in the barricade itself. And then after that, it switches back into Marius' perspective, and he is at the Rue Plumet. After that, we trace his route from the Rue Plumet. He goes sort of northwest towards the Bridge of the Invalids, then he crosses the Champs-Élysées and makes his way to the barricade. And after that, there's a brief digression before it returns to Marius' perspective. And after that, we get a few pages of Enjolras again with the yellow. And then after Enjolras, we switch to Marius again. And then after Marius, we have Jean Valjean's perspective. So we follow Jean Valjean's thread to his flower of pages, just sort of east of the barricade. And after that, there are a few pages of Gavroche, sort of going north from Jean Valjean's location. And then that is the end of the plot of the fourth part. Yeah, so that's it. I hope that was follow-alongable. And if it wasn't easy to follow along, I mean, I think there are virtues of this piece, even though it is convoluted. I think to an extent it really portrays the amount of time spent by each character in this section. And I think that's very valuable information. It also really accentuates the most important places. So we have particularly the Rue Plumet, which is this massive clump that we can see that people are there a lot. And then also the barricade, equally. Yeah, if you were able to see it in person, this piece of mine, it would be sort of almost like an elevation map in terms of you can see just through how raised these sections are, just how many characters and perspectives and how much time is spent by the narrative in these locations. So I hope that's useful, and I hope you've enjoyed yourself and listening to me ramble, and have a good day.